the detailed report. I appreciate that. Next on our report list is Dan Purcharlie to give his staff report.
Okay.
The signed agreement that I signed from Carter Shannon, the deputy would like that.
She's going to email.
We probably got the email. Yeah, you got to do copies.
Pardon me, you're collecting the charges. Pardon me, Charlie.
Public Works. Okay, Public Works. Public is working out there. Leak list, we're at 16 as of this morning. They went on and off. In terms of what Jay Lynn mentioned about the meters, there are a handful of meters that have not ever worked correctly since they've installed. Master meter showed up a week, 2 weeks ago. We're talking about that. We're going to get some replacement stuff and get these meters to work. There's three for sure. There's other ones that are like hit and miss that'll upload something with the signal. But yeah, in terms of the leaks, I've been still, you know, once a week or so letting people know, especially if I know who they are. It's helpful and easier to go ahead and just shoot a text, and that is helpful. If I don't know who they are, I print out a report and take it to their house and let them know they have a leak. And so it just keeps hovering around 16 for whatever reason. It's a lot of just sprinklers, but people are coming and going, and it's just kind of staying there. Nothing is obscene. We got a good burn down at the lagoon. We removed all of the slash from up at the spring site. This was part of the RLC project. They cleaned out all the way around all of the springs, the actual source of our water, and we constructed fences around them. The intent was to burn all the slash up there, and being that winter never came, the site was above the tank, so there's physically no way to get water to the site. So I brought all the slash down to the lagoon. It was quite a deal, but then with this big rain, it rained real good on Sunday, so Monday we just lit the whole thing and got rid of that entire mess of slash, which I'm extremely happy about, so I thought I was going to sit there till winter. Shay Fredette has completed his service with the town. I did an exit interview with him. I know that council has approved the hiring of that position again. I don't really feel like it's necessary at this point. I feel like Reese is doing awesome, and I feel like we're staying up on top of everything, and I don't feel like we need to reach out and try to fulfill that position immediately. So that's kind of where that stands. The 22nd day of June, we turned the well on into the system. The spring was no longer keeping up with the tank. The telemetry is working between the tank and the well in terms of them communicating and not having to turn the well on manually, which is awesome. The little VNC viewer is not working. Me and Lorene went to a Blackfoot communication seminar deal in Missoula, and I talked to some people there. I need to re-up with them because it's something to do with the Blackfoot internet deal over there, because if I reset it, it will work for a hot minute. And what that VNC viewer does is terrific. I can pull up the tank from my phone. So if the fire department calls me and they're like, yo, there's a fire, and I can start the well from my phone. It's like a screen over screen type of situation. It's stupendous. And if you reset the modem or whatever, it'll work for like a week and then it dies out. It won't So either way, we need to get in contact with Blackfoot, especially summer season. In terms of water usage today, the spring did 68,000, the well did 50,000, so we're right 118,000, so right around 120,000. I feel like I would like to start telling you guys these numbers. In the dead of winter, we run about 36,000 gallons of water a day, and so now we're up to like 120. And typically, height of summer, we push right under 200,000 gallons in a day. So it kind of brings home the necessity for the second tank. Our current tank is 300,000 gallons. The second tank will be an additional 200,000, totaling 500,000 gallons. I went to Kalispell and sat through some classes, and I took my 3A, 3B water tests, one for water treatment, the other for water distribution, and I passed both of those tests. So that was good. And we began pressure washing the museum this week in preparation for painting the little historical museum next to our shop. So that's kind of what we're up to. I'd like to get that done by Railroad Day for sure. And that's about all. Any questions?
Yes, sir. I think when we have a leak and we fix it, we should get a sticker.
Really?
Yes. I did it.
Okay. All right. Duly noted. Yeah. Very good.
No, I caught it. Thank you, Charlie, for letting us know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Charlie, for reaching out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
So, moving on to old business then, we are going to do the second reading of the proposed ordinance regarding the utility rates, penalties, fines to be set by a resolution. This is ordinance number 2026-06-03, an ordinance amending chapters 4-2 and 4-4 of Title IV of the Overton Town Code to remove specific dollar amounts from ordinance text and authorize the town council to establish and amend utility rates, fees, and penalties by resolution. Whereas the town of Overton currently maintains specific dollar amounts for water and sewer utility rates, fees, and penalties within the text of Title IV of the Overton Town Code, including but not limited to reconnection fees, late payment penalties, service deposit amounts, hookup fees, and misdemeanor fine minimums, and whereas the town of Overton also maintains a specific disconnection notice schedule within the text of section 4-2-5, number 1, of the Overton Town Code, setting forth the timing and sequence of notices required prior to disconnection of water service for non-payment, and whereas embedding specific dollar amounts and procedural schedules within ordinance text requires the town council to undertake the full two-reading ordinance adoption process, which takes a minimum of 12 days under Montana law, each time rates, fees, penalties, or notice procedures require adjustments. And whereas the operational and financial needs of the town's water and sewer systems require the ability to adjust rates, fees, penalties, and administrative procedures in a timely manner in response to annual budget requirements, infrastructure costs, grant conditions, inflationary pressures, banking and collection costs, and other factors affecting municipal utility operations, and whereas Montana Code Annotated Section 69-7-101 authorizes the town to regulate, establish, and change as it considers proper rates, charges, and classifications imposed for utility services to its inhabitants and other persons served by the municipal systems, provided that rates, charges, and classifications are reasonable and just, and whereas Montana Code Annotated Section 69-7-111 requires the town council to order a public hearing before regulating, establishing, or changing rates, charges, or classifications imposed on utility customers with notice published in mail as required by that section, and whereas the disconnection notice schedule is a procedural administrative matter and not a rate, charge, or classification subject to the public hearing requirement of section 69-7-111, and may therefore be established and amended by resolution of the town council without a public hearing, and whereas several provisions of Title IV already contemplate rate setting by resolution of the town council following public hearing, and this ordinance extends that mechanism uniformly to all utility rates, fees, and penalties currently hard-coded in ordinance text. And whereas the town council finds that authorizing the establishment and adjustment of utility rates, fees, penalties, and the disconnection of a schedule by resolution is in the best interest of the town of Hubbardston and its residents. Now therefore be it ordained by the town council of the town of Hubbardston, Montana as follows. Section 1, amendment of section 4-2-5, penalties, water service lines. Section 4-2-5, number 1 of chapter 4-2 of Title 4 of the Hubbardston Town Code is hereby amended to read as follows. 4-2-5, penalties, number 1. Each and every violation of the rules and regulations established by this ordinance will constitute a misdemeanor, and the offending party shall be subject to a fine as established by resolution of the town council, not to exceed the maximum permitted by Montana law. When the offense is one relating to plumbing, leakage, or other illegal use of waste of water, the registrar may stop the supply of water to the offender. When water has been turned off for violation of these rules and regulations, the water registrar may withhold the water until all dues and penalties have been paid in full, plus a reconnection fee as established by resolution of the town council. The notice and disconnection schedule applicable to delinquent accounts shall be as established by resolution of the town council pursuant to section 3A of ordinance number 2026-06-03. Section 2, amendment of section 4-2-4, general rules and regulations, reconnection fee. The paragraph of section 4-2-4 of chapter 4-2 entitled shut off, turn on fee is hereby amended to read as follows. Shut off, turn on fee. When the water has been shut off at the curb box, it shall not be turned on by any person except an employee of the water sewer department. If the water is turned on by anyone other than an employee of the town water sewer department, the water shall be immediately shut off, and the property owner must pay a reconnection fee as established by resolution of the town council before the water shall again be turned on. In addition, the party turning the water on shall be in violation of this ordinance and may be punished as provided in this chapter. Section 3, amendment of section 4-2-4, general rules and regulations, paragraph 10, reconnection for non-payment. The provision in section 4-2-4, paragraph 10, relating to reconnection charges for non-payment is hereby amended to read as follows. Quote, there will be a reconnection fee as established by resolution of the town council to have water reconnected for any service that was turned off for non-payment of services, end quote. Section 3A, amendment of section 4-2-5, number 1, disconnection notice schedule. The specific disconnection notice schedule currently set forth in section 4-2-5, number 1 of chapter 4-2 of Title 4 of the Hubbardston Town Code, providing that a late notice shall be sent in the first week of the month following a delinquency, a disconnect notice in the second week, and a 24-hour disconnect notice in the third week is hereby removed from the ordinance text and replaced with the following. Quote, the schedule of notices, timing, and steps required prior to disconnection of water service for non-payment, including but not limited to the issuance of late notices, disconnect notices, and final 24-hour disconnect notices, shall be established and amended from time to time by resolution of the town council. The current notice and disconnection schedule shall be maintained on file with the town clerk treasurer, shall be posted at town hall in a publicly accessible location, and shall be made available to utility customers upon request. No disconnection of service for non-payment shall occur without notice to the property owner in accordance with the then current adopted schedule and all applicable Montana law. End quote. Section 4, amendment of section 4-4-2, equitable rates, sewer system. Section 4-4-2 of chapter 4-4 of title 4 of the Everton Town Code is hereby amended to read as follows. Quote, 4-4-2, equitable rates. Rates for sewer service shall be set from time to time by resolution of the town council, following public notice and a public hearing as required by the Montana Code annotated section 69-7-111. A schedule of current rates shall be maintained on file with the town clerk treasurer and shall be available to the public upon request, end quote. Section 5, amendment of section 4-4-10, water sewer hookup formula. Section 4-4-10 of chapter 4-4 of title 4 of the Everton Town Code is hereby amended to read as follows. Quote, 4-4-10, water sewer hookup fees. Water and sewer hookup connection fees shall be established and adjusted from time to time by resolution of the town council following public notice and a public hearing as required by Montana Code annotated section 69-7-111. All fees for water hookup must be paid in full before the water connection can occur. All fees for sewer hookup must be paid in full before the sewer connection can occur. A schedule of current hookup fees shall be maintained on file with the town clerk treasurer and shall be available to the public upon request, end quote. Section 6, general rate and fee schedule. The town council shall, by resolution following required public notice and hearing as provided in Montana Code annotated section 69-7-111, adopt and maintain a current schedule of utility rates, fees, and penalties rate schedule that establishes specific dollar amounts for all of the following at minimum. A, monthly water base rate, metered and unmetered. B, monthly sewer service rate. C, water service deposit. D, water and sewer hookup connection fees. E, disconnection fee, the administrative fee charged when service is disconnected for non-payment or violation. F, reconnection fee, the fee charged to restore service following disconnection for non-payment, violation, or unauthorized shutoff. G, account transfer fee, the fee charged when responsibility for the utility account is transferred from one party to another, including but not limited to transfer to a new tenant upon move-in, transfer back to the property owner upon a tenant vacating, and transfer upon change of property ownership. H, meter testing fee, charged when a meter is tested at a customer's request and found to be functioning correctly. I, unauthorized reconnection penalty fee, charged when service has been restored by any person other than an authorized town employee. J, late payment fee, a flat fee charged when a utility bill is not paid by the due date. K, interest on delinquent accounts. The rate of interest charged on unpaid balances expressed as a monthly or annual percentage rate. L, NSF fee. The fee charged when a payment is returned for insufficient funds or against a closed account. M, lien filing fee. The administrative costs charged to a delinquent account when the town is required to file or record a lien against real property for unpaid utility charges, pursuant to the authority established in section 4-4-4 of the Aberton Town Code. N, notice and collection fee. The administrative costs charged to a delinquent account when a town staff is required to post physical notices at a property, including door notices and posted disconnect warnings, in connection with the collection and disconnection process. O, any other utility fee or penalty currently established or hereafter authorized by ordinance. The rate schedule shall be maintained on file with the town clerk treasurer, shall be posted in a publicly accessible location at town hall, and shall be made available to utility customers upon request. Any adjustment to the rate schedule shall be made by resolution of the town council after public notice and a public hearing as required by Montana Code Annotated Section 69-7-111. The town council shall also adopt and may amend a notice of disconnection schedule by resolution, as provided in Section 3A of this ordinance. The notice and disconnection schedule is a procedural administrative matter and is not a rate, charge, or classification subject to the public hearing requirement of Montana Code Annotated Section 69-7-111. It may therefore be established and amended by resolution of the town council without a public hearing, except as otherwise required by Montana law. Section 7, existing resolutions preserved. All resolutions previously adopted by the town council establishing utility rates, fees, or penalties, including but not limited to resolution number 336, resolution number 338, resolution number 343, and any subsequent rate resolutions remain in full force and effect until amended or superseded by subsequent resolution of the town council. Section 8, repeal of conflicting provisions. All prior ordinances, resolutions, or motions of the town council that embed specific dollar amounts for utility rates, fees, or penalties, or that set a specific disconnection notice schedule within the text of Title IV of the Aberton Town Code and that are inconsistent with the delegation of authority established by this ordinance are hereby repealed to the extent of such conflict. Section 9, Savings Clause. If any provision of this ordinance or its application to any person or circumstance is held invalid, the remainder of the ordinance and the application of its provisions to other persons or circumstances shall not be affected. Section 10, effective date. This ordinance shall take effect 30 days after final passage on second reading as required by Montana Code Annotated Section 7-5-105. The town clerk treasurer is directed to cause this ordinance to be posted in accordance with Section 1-2-2 of the Aberton Town Code following first reading and provisional adoption. And it's the normal notation of passed and adopted by the town council and mayor of the town of Aberton, Mineral County, state of Montana. That would the 7th day of July 2026. So again, I'll remind you, this is the second reading of this proposed ordinance, which then would put this ordinance in the effect. Jaylen?
Was it your intention to change in on page one, the second whereas, second line, was it your intention to pluralize the word text?
No, it does say within the text of section 4-2-5.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
On the third whereas, the bottom line, was it your intention to pluralize the word adjustment?
No, it was not. Thank you. The word is singular, or notice procedures require adjustment. Thank you.
On page two, under the 4-2-5 penalties, the quoted paragraph, line four towards the end, was it your intention to add the word use of waste of water, or is it use, illegal use or waste of water?
Okay. Relating to plumbing leakage or other illegal use or waste of water.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Under section two, the first paragraph, was it your intention at the beginning of line two to say is hereby re-amended?
Is hereby amended to be as follows.
Thank you.
Pardon me, thank you.
On page four, at the very bottom, the very last line, was it your intention to add the word when a town staff is required?
No, it says delinquent account when town staff is required to post physical notices. Thank you.
Thank you. On page five, paragraph three, where it states the town council shall also adopt and may amend a notice. Was it your intention to change the word and to of?
No.
Thank you.
A notice and disconnection schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. No other reasons.
Thank you. Council, have you any comments, questions?
Just because we did this last time, and that's a lot of text, and I'm sure it's easy to get lost while listening to it read out. Can you briefly summarize in plain English what this ordinance is about for the public?
Certainly. However, I would like to defer to my clerk to do that summary.
All right. It doesn't need to be long, just a brief,
just to review.
So, what this is right now, ordinances are laws. They take approximately 90 days to change by town council as long as everybody agrees all the time. A resolution can be put before the council and voted on and go into effect immediately. As it presently sits, our ordinances that are harder to change state actual dollar amounts and certain dates and time frames as it relates to utility fees and penalties. And it's very difficult to change as needs change, which does happen every year, every time the budget is redone. So what this ordinance does is it simply removes specific dollar amounts and specific verbiage out of the ordinance, and it allows the town council to be able to update those by resolution instead of having to go through a lengthy minimum 90-day process to change those every time.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And there was also some items, like types of fees, that were not included in the original that we discovered were essential to include. Correct. So that's been corrected by this new ordinance. There are no further discussion. I will entertain a motion.
Go first.
We have a first to adopt an ordinance number 2026-603, and ordinance amending chapters 4-2 and 4-4 of Title 4 of the Elberton Town Code to remove specific dollar amounts from ordinance text and authorize the town council to establish and amend utility rates, fees, and penalties by resolution. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Jalen, can you call the question, please?
Kyle.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Tim.
Yep.
We have the proposed ordinance on second reading for utility rates, penalties, and fines to be set by resolution has passed unanimously. Thank you very much.
So adopted, it will go into effect in 30 days.
Wonderful. That's good news, and this definitely is in line with all of the work that the office has been doing toward collecting and updating people's accounts so that we can keep things current.
Can I say something real quick?
Certainly, Jim.
I just want to also reiterate that adopting this ordinance does not guarantee or mean that we are also going to be increasing fees or anything because of this ordinance. Just to put that out there, make sure everyone's not worried about it. You know, this is just to make it easier so that we can like do the stuff.
Thank you, Jim, for that clarification. And to add to that, that as we said within this reading, it would all be still presented and brought to the public's attention. Next item for old business, we are doing a reintroduction of the proposed ordinance, amending the ordinance that sets the specific date and time of the town council meetings, allowing the regularly scheduled meetings to be set by resolution. This is ordinance number 2026-06-01. An ordinance amending sections 1-6-1 and 1-6-3 of Chapter 1-6 of Title 1 of the Aberton Town Code to remove the specific date and time of regular town council meetings from ordinance text. Authorize the town council to establish and amend the regular meeting schedule by resolution and correct the special meetings provision to conform with Montana law. Whereas Section 1-6-1 of the Aberton Town Code currently provides that the town council shall hold regular meetings on the first Tuesday of each month. And Section 1-6-3 currently provides that meetings shall convene at 7 p.m. and whereas embedding the specific date and time of regular meetings within ordinance text requires the town council to undertake the full two-reading ordinance adoption process, which takes a minimum of 12 days under Montana law, each time an adjustment to the meeting schedule is needed. And whereas the town council finds it more practical and efficient to establish and adjust the regular meeting schedule, including day, time, and location by resolution, which takes effect immediately upon adoption. And whereas Section 1-6-1 currently provides that special meetings may be called by the mayor or at the written request of three members of the council, but Montana Code annotated sections 7-5-41202, number 1C, and 7-5-4122 vest the authority to call a special meeting solely in the mayor, and the council member request language is therefore in conflict with state law and must be removed. And whereas the town council finds that these amendments serve the efficient and lawful conduct of town government, now therefore be it ordained by the town council of the town of Aberton, Montana, as follows. Section 1, amendment of Section 1-6-1, meetings. Section 1-6-1 of Chapter 1-6 of Title 1 of the Aberton Town Code is hereby amended to read as follows. Quote, 1-6-1, meetings. The town council shall hold regular meetings for the transaction of municipal business at such day, time, and location as shall be established from time to time by resolution of the town council. current regular meeting schedule shall be maintained on file with the town clerk and shall be posted at town hall and such other public locations as required by section 1-2-2 of this code. The council may also hold such other meetings to which the council by order may adjourn or which may be otherwise called. Special meetings may be called only by the mayor. The mayor shall state by written message to the town clerk the subject of the special meeting, and the business of any special meeting shall be restricted to that object stated. Consistent with Montana Code annotated section 7-5-412-4102, number 1C, and section 7-5-4122. Section 2, amendment of section 1-6-3, proceedings of meeting. Section 1-6-3 of chapter 1-6 of title 1 of the Alberton Town Code is hereby amended to read as follows. Quote, 1-6-3, proceedings of meeting. The town council shall convene and be called to order by the mayor, or in his her absence by the president of the council at the day and time established by resolution of the town council pursuant to section 1-6-1, and the town clerk shall proceed to call the roll and recall in the minutes the names of all members present and note the absentees and announce whether or not a quorum is present. All meetings shall be held at the location established by resolution of the town council pursuant to section 1-6-1 unless otherwise ordered, end quote. Section 3, repeal of conflicting provisions. All prior ordinances, resolutions, or motions of the town council establishing the regular meeting time, date, or location that are inconsistent with this ordinance are hereby repealed to the extent of such conflict. Section 4, savings clause. If any provision of this ordinance or its application to any person or circumstance is held invalid, the remainder of the ordinance and the application of its provisions to other persons or circumstances shall not be affected. Section 5, effective date. This ordinance shall take effect 30 days after final passage on second reading as required by Montana Code annotated section 7-5-105. The town clerk is directed to provide public notice of this ordinance in accordance with section 1-2-2 of the Alberton Town Code following first reading and provisional adoptions. Provisionally passed and adopted by the town council of the town of Alberton, Mineral County, state of Montana, upon first reading at a regular session thereof held on the 7th day of July 2026. Council.
Jillian,
did you have a comment? Thank you.
On page 1, the second whereas, was it your intention to change the word day on line 1 to date?
Whereas, embedding the specific day and time of regular meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. On the same page, on the fourth whereas, the third line, was it your intention to change the Montana Code annotated subsections 7-5-4102-1C? I didn't catch what you changed it to.
I mispronounced or said the 4102 and went back to say it again, but it does read subsection 7-5-4102-1C.
Okay.
Thank you.
On page 2, paragraph 2, was it your intention to change the word on the second line where it says town clerk, the subject of the special meeting?
Okay. No, it says message to the town clerk, the object of the special meeting. Thank you.
And under section 2, in the quoted section, line 4, was it your intention to change the word shall proceed to call the roll and recall the minutes?
No. Thank you, Jillian. Shall proceed to call the roll and record in the minutes the names of all members present. Thank you. Thank you very much for catching my slip of the tongue. Council, do you have any comments, questions? On this reintroduction.
Yeah, so the section 161 portion where you're changing it so that the council cannot request a meeting to be in line with state code. I'm a little confused about that because I guess maybe, and this is just, you know, my, something that I'm not aware of, not being a lawyer, but if we're going to be following state rules over town rules, is that something that we're going to be doing for almost everything as well? Because that means that state laws are, you know, supersede like town laws or town stuff.
Well, yeah, actually, in reality, Montana code does is over and above county, state. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure this. I mean, you know, as a council member, I do like the ability or like the presumed ability to call a meeting if I feel like I need to, you know. So I do mourn the loss of that privilege, but, you know, if Montana Code prohibits that anyway, then I guess it's kind of really happy.
And I will comment on that in saying that if the council came to me, a council member or members, and requested a meeting, I would most likely call that meeting.
Well, right, but so the most likely part is where, you know,
reasonable.
It's
reasonable.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying, like, as a council member, I could see, especially moving forward, not with us, but a council in the future, there could be a situation where a meeting people wanted and maybe the governing body did not want to call it. So that does, I'm a little sad about that, but you know, if the Montana Code already supersedes it, then I guess there's nothing to say about that.
And my understanding, there is remedy. If the community wants a meeting.
What's that?
There is remedy. If the community wants a meeting, the community can come and talk to council members.
Well, right, but this here says that the authority is solely in the mayor before they can call a special meeting or anything. So I just wanted to clarify that because, you know, like, we have our town codes and we have Montana Code, and it's like, well, you know, obviously if Montana Code is takes precedence, then, you know, might as well get ours up to date too. I just wanted some clarification on that.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I definitely appreciate that what we're attempting to do here is bring our business and codes up to par with the law. Mm-hmm. Any additional next season?
I have none.
Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
Well, first.
Kyle has made the motion to adopt ordinance number 2026-06-01 with a very long name. And I'll second it.
Oh, wait, before we. Oh, yeah, I guess we can second it before the call.
Yes, we can. And so then we have a motion and a second on the floor, and Councillor
I just also want to say that, again, this is adopting an ordinance that allows us to make change by resolution instead of by ordinance, but it does not mean that we will make that change or that we have to. it just gives us the option to. So.
It allows flexibility to act more.
That's what I said.
Yeah. But you're still following the procedure. Jillian, would you like to call the question? This is for the reintroduction of proposed ordinance, amending the ordinance that sets the specific date and time of the town council meeting, allowing the regular scheduled meetings to be set by resolution.
Sharon?
Yes.
Tim?
I'm going to say yes.
Kyle?
Yes.
Motion carries. It's unanimous. 2026-0611 is now past its first reading. And now we move on to new business, and this is a proposed ordinance, first reading, regarding firearms. I will do my best to not blow up from all the words.
I'm missing it.
Up here. There you go.
Very good. This is ordinance number 2026-06-02, an ordinance of the town of Alberton, Montana, regulating the discharge of firearms within town limits and the carrying of firearms in publicly owned and occupied town buildings consistent with Montana Code Annotated Section 45-8-351. Whereas the town of Alberton is an incorporated municipality of Mineral County, Montana, governed by a mayor and town council under the commission executive form of government, and whereas the nearest law enforcement office is located at a significant distance from the town, and the town has no municipal public police force, creating a practical need for residents and visitors to be able to carry firearms for personal protection while on town property, and whereas the Montana Constitution, Article 2, Section 12, recognizes the right of any person to keep or bear arms in defense of home, person, and property, and whereas Montana Code Annotated Section 45-8-351, number 1, provides that a local government unit may not prohibit, register, tax, license, or regulate the purchase, sale, transfer, ownership, possession, transportation, use, or unconcealed carrying of any weapon except as specifically provided in Section 45-8-351, number 2, and whereas Montana Code Annotated Section 45-8-351, number 2A expressly authorizes a city or town to regulate the discharge of firearms within town limits for public safety purposes and authorizes a local government unit to prevent and suppress the carrying of unpermitted concealed weapons or the carrying of unconcealed weapons to a publicly owned an occupied building under its jurisdiction, and whereas Montana Code Annotated Section 45-8-329 provides that a concealed weapon permit from another state is valid in Montana if the permit holder has the permit in immediate possession, carries official photo identification, and the issuing state requires a criminal records background check prior to issuance. And whereas the town council finds that persons holding a valid Montana concealed weapon permit issued under section MCA section 45-8-321 through 45-8-324 or a concealed weapon commit from another state recognized under MCA Section 45-8-329 have undergone criminal background screening and represent a class of carry qualified persons, the town has no basis to exclude from town buildings. And whereas the town council finds that the regulations set forth in this ordinance serve public safety while respecting the constitutional and statutory rights of residents and visitors. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the town council of the town of Alberton, Montana, as follows. Section 1, title. This ordinance shall be known and may be cited as the Town of Alberton Firearms Regulation Ordinance. Section 2, definitions. For purposes of this ordinance, the following definitions apply. A, firearm means any weapon designed or adapted to expel a projectile by the action of an explosive. B, unconcealed firearm means a firearm carried on the person in a manner that is visible to others and not concealed or covered by clothing or other object. Another object. C, concealed firearm means a firearm carried on the person that is wholly or partially covered by clothing or another object so as not to be visible by two others. D, valid permit means a Montana concealed weapon permit issued pursuant to MCA Section 45-8-321 through 45-8-324, or a concealed weapon permit issued by another state that is recognized as valid in Montana under MCA Section 45-8-329, carried in immediate possession together with official photo identification. E, publicly owned and occupied building means any building or structure owned or leased by the town of Alberton and regularly occupied by town employees or officials in the conduct of town business, including town hall and the Alberton Community Center when in use for official town functions. F, peace officer has the meaning provided in MCA Section 45-1-202. Section 3, discharge of firearms prohibited. A, except as provided in subsection B, it is unlawful for any person to discharge a firearm within the corporate limits of the town of Alberton. B, the prohibition in subsection A does not apply to, number one, a person acting in lawful self-defense or defense of another as authorized under Montana law. Number two, a peace officer acting in the lawful performance of official duties. Three, discharge at a shooting range or facility expressly authorized by resolution of the town council. Section 4, carrying of firearms in publicly owned and occupied town buildings. A, general rule, except as provided in subsection B, a person may not carry or possess a firearm, whether concealed or unconcealed, in any publicly owned and occupied building of the town of Alberton. B, exceptions. The prohibition in subsection A does not apply to, number one, a peace officer acting in the performance of official duties. Number two, a person holding a valid permit as defined in section 2D of this ordinance, who carries the permit and required photo identification in immediate possession. 3. Any other person expressly authorized by state or federal law to carry a firearm in such locations. Number C, notice, the town clerk treasurer shall cause signage to be posted at the public entrance of each publicly owned and occupied building subject to this section, stated that unauthorized carrying of firearms is prohibited, but that valid permit holders are welcome to carry consistent with this ordinance. Section 5, scope and limitations. A, nothing in this ordinance shall be construed to regulate, restrict, or prohibit the open carry of firearms on public streets, sidewalks, parks, or other public property of the town of Haverton, except as expressly authorized by MCA section 45-8-351. B, nothing in this ordinance shall be construed to regulate the purchase, sale, transfer, ownership, transportation, or possession of firearms beyond what is expressly authorized in MCA section 45-8-351. C, nothing in this ordinance shall be construed to prohibit the legitimate display of firearms at shows or other public occasions by collectors and others, or to prohibit the legitimate transportation of firearms through the town consistent with MCA section 45-8-351-2B. D, nothing in this ordinance shall be construed to permit any conduct prohibited by state or federal law. Section 6, penalties. Any person who violates Section 3 or Section 4A of this ordinance is guilty of a misdemeanor and, upon conviction, shall be subject to a fine not to exceed $500 or imprisonment in the county jail not to exceed 6 months or both, consistent with MCA Section 7-5-109 and 7-5-4207. Section 7, repeal of conflicting provisions. All prior ordinances, resolutions, or motions of the town council inconsistent with this ordinance are hereby repealed to the extent of such conflict. Section 8, savings clause. If any provision of this ordinance or its application to any person or circumstance is held invalid by a court of competent jurisdiction, the remainder of the ordinance and the application of its provisions to other persons or circumstances shall not be affected. Section 9, conformity with state law. This ordinance is enacted in reliance upon the authority granted to the town by Montana Code Annotated Section 45-8-351 as it exists at the time of adoption and is intended to operate only to the extent permitted by controlling Montana law as it may be amended from time to time. If any provision of this ordinance is or becomes inconsistent with, unauthorized by, or preempted by any amendment to Montana law, that provision shall automatically be deemed suspended or unenforceable to the extent of such inconsistency or preemption without affecting the remainder of the ordinance. The town council shall review and, if necessary, amend this ordinance following any legislative amendment to Montana Code annotated section 45-8-351 or other applicable state law. Section 10, effective date. This ordinance shall take effect 30 days after final passage on second reading as required by Montana Code annotated section 7-5-105. The town clerk treasurer is directed to cause this ordinance to be posted in accordance with section 1-2-2 of the Upperton Town Code following first reading and provisional adoption. Provisionally passed and adopted by the Town Council of the Town of Upperton, Mineral County, State of Montana upon first reading at a regular session thereof held on the 7th day of July, 2026. And everywhere that I said MCA, just for everyone's clarification, that is Montana Code annotated. Jimmy, how did I do?
On page one, on the second whereas, line two, was it your intent to insert the word public between municipal and police?
No. And the town has no municipal police force creating a practical need. Thank you.
On the second whereas from the bottom on page one, line two, was it your intent to insert the word section between under and MCA?
No. So it's the Montana Concealed Weapon Permit issued under MCA section 45-8-321 through 45-8-324. Thank you.
On page two, under section 2F, was it your intention to change Montana Code annotated subsection 46 to 45?
No.
Thank you.
It was number 46-1-202.
On page, thank you. On page three, under section 5B, the third line, was it your intention to change the word by to in where it states expressly authorized by MCA? Was it your intention to change by to in?
I'm sorry, you're on section 5, number D?
B.
B, there we go, okay.
Where it states, beyond what is expressly authorized
by MCA section 45-8-351.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On page 4, section 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, line 6, starting with deemed suspended. Was it your intention to change the word and to or?
Deemed suspended and unenforceable to the extent. Thank you. Thank you, Jaylen. The verbiage is very specific and is very important. So I am grateful that you have provided those corrections. This firearms ordinance was originally submitted by the sheriff's office, and then based on schedule, it came till this meeting before we had the first reading. Council, do you have any comments or questions?
First, before I do, I saw David raise his hand.
I've seen David raise his hand, but council gets to ask questions first. Thank you, Tim.
Did we get the lawyer or county attorney to look at this yet?
He is in receipt of it, but it is my understanding that he has said June 1st reading at this meeting.
But he hasn't approved it?
Jimin, do you have a clarification there?
I was in communication with the town attorney prior to its introduction at the last meeting. It was his request that we put it to the first reading. And if it passed the first reading, he would take the time afterwards to review it for approval because he was on a time crunch. He is similarly on another time crunch. We requested that he review it again prior to, once again, a first reading. And he has requested again that we put it through the first reading. If it passes the first reading, he will go through the approval process If he has no recommended changes, then the second reading can happen.
What's this guy wasting our time for? Oh my God.
He's not wasting our time.
We just sat through this reading not even knowing if it's going to get legally approved by the county attorney. I think that's a waste of time. The whole reason that we didn't read it last time was so that we could have it and make sure we didn't have to sit for a reading that wasn't going to get legally approved by the county attorney. And we sent it to him to have him read it, and I was under the impression we would not be seeing it again until he had given it the okay.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
And
well,
so
you know,
he has given his opinion based on our due diligence and thorough work, and there is a line here provided for him to sign this when it gets to the point where we are actually adopting it. So,
right.
I hear your frustration.
Well, I
keep on going. I would suggest that you guys table this because there's outdated information in there. You need to look at House Bill 102, which was passed in 2021. Virtually anything regarding the concealed weapons permit is null and void in everything that you just read. It's complete nonsense. It's all old information. If you're going to read the law, you need to read the updated version. If you look at House Bill 102, it indicates everything regarding permitless carry, concealed carry that you just shared. So,
please agree with that. Sheriff drafted this.
I'm not sure I care what the current sheriff said. It's the law of Montana. If we're going by the law that supersedes county and town ordinances, then let's go by the law. And the law is constitutional carry.
Yep.
And you can infringe that. If you want to try, it will be a serious problem.
Yep.
Thank you for your comment. Thank you. Did you have a comment on?
I'm right there with Dave. This is via a constitutional carry scheme. You do not have to have a concealed carry permit.
Anyone in any scout?
If you go into, obviously, a courthouse.
During court.
Or a bar drinking, yes, that's against the law. But for me to walk into the community center or go somewhere else with my concealed carry permit, it is arguably legal. It's lawful to do.
You can go on to a campus or a school with others.
Even I've asked you not to interrupt, do you have something further to say?
I think everybody's already got it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
And I have two things. First is I don't understand what is coming up now. It's because Superior Pastor doesn't mean we got there. And second, there's people that actually live here. I'm speaking for Herman. He lives up by the substation. He's got corrals that are in town and that are out that go over the line. And his concern was, so if he has to defend his livestock against something, he has to run across the town limits to fire a gun. It's just not going to work for him.
That's it.
But he got the current ordinance.
Are you getting up on it? Garth?
No, I'm listening.
Okay, Jalen?
I would like to address the issue of the concealed carry. So this ordinance was researched at length. I am a huge proponent of the Second Amendment. This particular ordinance was undertaken because Montana state law, the updated law, does permit a municipality and a county to regulate the carry of firearms in property that it owns or leases. Those are the only areas in which this ordinance applies. However, it also allows for the regulation, not the carry, but the discharge of firearms within town limits. Prior to this, the ordinance that was proposed banned all carry in town buildings. Your administration did not feel that that was proper, that concealed carry should be allowed on town property, and didn't like the idea that only a law enforcement officer was permitted to discharge a firearm in town limits, because you take a situation like, well, what happens if someone shows up at your door intending to cause you harm, and you have to use deadly force to protect yourself? You go to court, you're acquitted, but now you got to come home and serve 6 months in jail because you unlawfully discharged a gun in your town, and your mayor didn't like that. She thought it sucked. So this was made as lenient as it possibly can be while still somewhat protecting town people. So I appreciate that you've researched the code. I assure you that code was thoroughly gone through to make sure that this ordinance is in absolute compliance, and it does not restrict firearms except you can still carry unconcealed. It's the concealed carry that they specifically ask on town property that you have a permit to carry concealed. Then now when it comes to court, we have no jurisdiction. The state of Utah doesn't allow us to have jurisdiction when it comes to court. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I lived there for 23 years. I freaking hated it. So, but it was a constitutional carry state too. So, anyway, so the state of Montana does allow the municipality to regulate all of that, but your mayor and whatnot did not think that the regulations that were being proposed by the current sheriff were fair. So this ordinance is actually far more lenient, but it is in line with Montana law and has been researched thoroughly.
Can you address the current ordinance and the fact that it's totally
thank you. Shannon was calling it to our attention that the current ordinance that sits on our books right now is not legal and not enforceable. So,
hence why we're here trying to change it.
Okay. And then, yes, this is why we're attempting to update things, and we did better than what was provided to us from the current sheriff. David?
I suggest we don't have any ordinances regarding firearms other than what the state actually says, and if we want to go ahead and do extra stuff just because we're allowed to, that's nonsense and it's unnecessary. There's no reason to stop good, decent people from carrying firearms because I carry to protect the people around me. And you're not going to stop me from carrying with an ordinance, and you're certainly not going to stop a criminal from carrying anywhere a criminal wants to and doing harm with a firearm. And that's why I carry, so that when the people who don't listen come and not listen in our town, I can protect people around me. The only people you're going to stop are good people from carrying firearms because they're going to be too scared to not obey the law. But the criminals aren't. So I suggest we don't have anything beyond what is absolutely necessary by Montana law. Just because you can and they give a provision for it doesn't mean we should.
Thank you.
Can I ask you?
Go ahead, Tim.
The topic of the fact that the current town ordinance is illegal and unenforceable, because I assume it is in conflict with Montana code or Montana state law, doesn't that just fall under the same rules as we had earlier in the other thing, where if the Montana laws are, they supersede it? So even if we have an ordinance that isn't necessarily up to, you know, the legal standards of the Montana law, that it can just be ignored, and the problem doesn't really exist. Isn't that like how it would be though? Like obviously we want to have the town law be, you know, the town ordinance be, you know, like easily accessible, and we want it to be in compliance with Montana code. But if Montana code says one thing and our town one says another, I don't see why we would even have one that makes it different in any way. I have more to say, but I'll wait till the comments are finished.
Okay, Jimmy?
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about how the ordinance actually reads, and I think if you would get a copy of the ordinance, which is on the website, and thoroughly read how the ordinance is actually written, you would find that it is actually protecting what you're arguing for rather than restricting it. I really would suggest that everybody read it before they get pissed off about it.
I was just going to say, I hear that, but I will say I think it's a little odd that we need a special ordinance for Alberton when the Montana statute has its own laws for this for a reason. That is my only concern for that. So.
Do you
want to
comment?
The only reason is because Montana state law does not specifically say anything about town property. It talks about state property. There are certain state buildings that you cannot carry in. And they also recognize that counties also have the same type of buildings and properties, and that so do towns. And they allow them to adopt the exact same rules that Montana has for its buildings, but you have to do it at those levels, and that's why.
Yeah, okay. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Thank you. It's
under that.
Thank you for that clarification. Chris, you have a comment? Garth.
All right, so I do agree with, you know, protecting those around you and love you, and how that doesn't thwart somebody, an evildoer per se, right? But I'll get a copy of that to read it if I can. I just want to know, you know, I live at the very edge of the town. I've got the bears, I've got lions. Bears, no big deal. Lions, skunks, but if I get a lion in my goat pen, I'm going to shoot that lion. If I get a skunk in my chickens, I'm going to shoot that chicken. Am I going to get in trouble? Because I'm in city limits.
Were you in defense of yourself or property?
Well, yeah.
There you go.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
It was for defense. The only thing that's restricting is people just, you know, doing target practice in their backyard who maybe, you know, aren't smart enough to know what's behind the target.
Roger.
Council?
I'd like to make a motion, or I should say I would move to table this until we get it approved by our county attorney.
Kim has moved that we table the firearm ordinance for the time being until the county attorney has had a chance to review it.
I will second. I'd like to talk to the county attorney further about the matter myself.
So we have a motion and second on the floor regarding the proposed firearm ordinance to table that ordinance. Jim, will you call the question?
Kyle.
No.
No, you don't want to take a move?
Yes, table. I'm so sorry. I was thinking in terms of motion to pass.
Okay, so motion to table?
Motion to table.
Kyle?
Yes.
Tim?
Yep.
Sharon?
Yes. So the proposed ordinance for firearms will be tabled until we have the county attorney's blessing to move forward. If anybody here or anybody you know has comments, you are welcome to submit them in writing to the office between now and next month's meeting. That is always an acceptable practice.